I want to talk this afternoon just a little bit about that our Father is a Father of mercy and of comfort. Yes. And it is my heart's desire that as we close this few services, that you go home with a feeling of great comfort from the Lord. Yes. And I am greatly inspired by the fact that we have a living God. Yes. You know, we think about God, and there was, I think, of when Elijah made the sacrifices before the prophets of Baal. And they cut themselves and they did all sorts of things to try to get, really, I would say, the attention of their God. And no matter what they did, of course, nothing happened. All they did was hurt themselves. And when Elijah stood out there and he poured the water on the sacrifice and he did a lot of different things, and then he just asked God to accept the sacrifice. And while it proved he was a living God, what I really love about that story is I know that God could see what was happening. And for me, that is a lot of the comfort that I get from the Lord, is that he can actually see me. And if you know someone has the ability to help you, or that they have the resources that you need, most of your time and effort is to get them to recognize your need and what you need. That you have requirements, or that there are places where they could help you. And if they can see you, and especially when you think about God and his heart, if he tells us that if we see our brother have a need and shut up our bowels of compassion, how do you think God's heart is as he looks upon us? And that means that as the Lord sees needs in my life that even I can't see, I know things that I need. I recognize them, and life situations and afflictions and struggles we go through highlight needs that we have and things that we recognize, and we can pray really specifically about things in our life that we need the Lord to touch. But there's also places that I realize that I can't see, but the Lord sees the needs that I have. And in that, there is great peace and great comfort that I can trust my living God, my living Father, to have the care over my life in every area. Whatever he allows in my life, whatever circumstances, whatever afflictions that we go through, he knows my needs. And I'm willing and able to accept that it is God that has ordered that, and that he'll fill the needs that I have how he sees fit. I want to read in Isaiah in the 40th chapter. And I would say the initial inspiration of this thought is the beginning of this chapter, where he says, "Comfort my people." I know what it is to be in a small congregation, and that there is a faithful call that we have. And I want to encourage you in that. And I love your beautiful location here. I walked around here a little bit in the last couple of days, and I love the, I don't know what that is, what you would call it, and the lake across the road, but I think it's beautiful, and I love the feel of it, and the trees, and the breeze, and God has planted something here over the years, and I just want to encourage you in your labor, and in your service to the Lord, to keep shining the light on 23rd Street, because I believe that is pleasing to the Lord. But Isaiah in the 40th chapter and in the first verse, he says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, assuredly, without any doubt. Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished and that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And the voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, but the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And in the 9th verse he says, O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid, and say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. And that is at the heart of this message, is for us to behold our God. The things of this world, they fade. The flowers, and I believe that the Lord gave us seasons for a lot of reasons. But one of the reasons is that we do see the changes in time, and things come and go. The flowers come up and they're beautiful, but they don't last. The time goes by and they return to the earth and the seed, and you have to have the season. You have to have the cold time. You have to have the rain. It has to sprout again. And then the flowers come up beautiful time. And this process reminds us of the process of life and the seasons of life. This grass that is out here, it's going to be brown because I lived here before. So it will be brown at some point, and it'll be brown for a little while, but then it'll turn green again. But the word of our God, and that has to be the focus of our heart as we go forward and as we face this world and our life and circumstances, we have to behold our God and how his word lasts forever. The safety and the confidence and what we build our life on is on that security that his word stands forever. There's a lot of counsel. There's a lot of things that you can hear, but it changes. You ever notice that over time, the counsel and wisdom that is just prevalent in society, it moves. Take diets, for example. That's like the best one I can think of. One day they tell you don't eat any meat. The next day they tell you only eat meat. And it's just that every week there's a new idea. Word just fades away. But this word, and you can build your life on one or the other, the next it might work or it might not. Obviously, it doesn't work for me. But the word of our God, it stands forever. I'm secure in that. That as I take his word and I build my life on his instruction and his teaching, I behold our God. And I love that. We had the eclipse this last weekend, and we didn't see much of it in our cloudy part of the country. But isn't it incredible that we even in our understanding of Lord, that God has given us, that we can measure what will happen, and it tracks it perfectly, just as he said it in order. That's behold our God. And then we face our own life situations, and sometimes we feel the uncertainty of outcome. And what is it, the things that I cannot see? But I have to say, behold my God. And it brings such comfort and such peace in our very inner being that I can trust him with all that I have. That I know that he has ordered things in his will and for his purpose. And in this is where I find my safety and my rest. Lord, I see you and I know. And I love that it's not just, it says behold our God. But I love, again, the concept, the truth, that God also sees us. It's like, you ever made eye contact with somebody and there's a lot of unspoken? I can look at Rebecca and there can be a lot of unspoken because it's been a lot of years. Things can be going on and there can be a whole conversation just in a look. It's that way with God. When I'm able to put my eyes on him and I feel that response, there's a whole conversation that happens in my heart. In our prayer life, in our time of, and many times, my burden when I'm facing great difficulty is I just want to see him. Let me behold him. Not that the natural eyes necessarily, and it's inspiring, but in my spirit, I need to see him. Because if my eyes can behold him and I feel his response and I know he can see me, then everything just falls into order. The peace comes and the rest. And it's like, Lord, God understands. And we sing that song just to know that he knows. That my Lord understands. And if he knows and he understands, what have I to fear? It's great comfort. Because God knows and he understands. And if he knows, and I think sometimes that is the thrust of our heart, is I need God to know and understand where I am right now. Because once I have that revelation in my heart, it's much easier to say, okay, Lord, I can give it to you. You understand it. And I think that's in our human nature, that if there's things I'm going through, and if I have uncertainty or fear, then I want to hold those things closer to myself. It pretty much anything we deal with, if I don't have confidence, I'm going to hold it tighter. Because I feel like I can handle it, and I know what should happen. So we hold it tighter and tighter. But when we feel secure, then it's easy to let go of things and to say, okay, I don't have to control it any longer. And that's where this is, behold our God. But when you face those darkest places, it's not often that I'm asking the Lord, and I know we ask Him for things, and we ask Him to answer our prayers in a certain way. But my first heart is, Lord, just let me behold You. Let me see Your face. Because in that, I find that there is a consecration and a commitment to whatever the Lord's will is. And there's been a few times that in that place, sometimes the battle has then just ended. It's like that was the lesson that sometimes we have to learn, is that it's not so much the outcome, but learning how to get a hold of God and putting our eyes and saying, behold our God. This is the comfort that we have. And this fills all parts of our life. You can take this passage talking about Jesus coming, the salvation that He brought, the propitiation for our sins, the atonement that was made. All of those things are different parts of our walk with the Lord that we have to see Him to receive and accept. But I found in our maturing with the Lord, this is often the thing that gives us the strength and the comfort to endure things that are hard or things that are long. Some trials are like that. Some aren't over in a day. Some have seasons of time to them. And I need strength to be able to go through those places. And I may not know, I may not have on hand what I need in day 47 or day 547, but if I can behold Him day by day. Yes. And I'll be real with you. Some days I feel like it's a real struggle because of our humanity and because of what my natural eyes can see. I have to press sometimes, and I feel sometimes in a desert place or in a place that I don't know, and there's uncertainty and there can be fear. But I find that most of the comfort and the places where then I have the strength to go on is when I can come to this place and say, okay, God, I can see You, and I know that You can see me. And in that, there is a rest and a safety. There's a comfort. So I want to comfort you this morning. Behold our God. And I would encourage you that when you're in the dry places or the areas where you're greatly struggling and it's dark, there's a reason why God told us that His creation reminds us of Him. It's a catalyst. Put your eyes on the things that remind us of God. Put yourself in an environment that's conducive to seeing who He is. And we go into our closet and pray, but then wash your face and go feel the wind. Go look at the sea. We don't have, well, or at the lake or at the river. Whatever it is that reminds you of His consistency, of the way that He is. You have amazing skies here. When it gets dark, look at the stars. How can you not think about God and who He is? It's like, behold my God, and I am His child. And He loves me infinitely, and He sees every part of my life. All of these things that are weighing, and there is a comfort that He brings that says, okay, Gordon, I can trust You. I can put my hand in Yours. We need these places, and Jesus needed it too. When He went on this earth, I appreciate sometimes He took a nap, and sometimes I need a nap. And sometimes He set Himself apart, and He went and He prayed. And I believe that those were times that He needed to behold His God, to see His Father's face. And of course, we know the picture in the garden as He labored there. And there was, I believe, the desire was for God to see Him also. Let this cup pass from me. See me. See what I'm dealing with. See where I'm at. And if it's Your will and it's possible, I don't want to do this. But because of the greatness and the magnificence of God, He could say, nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. That's that communion that we have to have through Him, with Him through some of these places. I'd like to read in 2 Corinthians in the first chapter, in the third verse. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. You think about that for a minute, the God of all comfort. There is There is comfort that's just a pat on the shoulder. There's comfort of, oh, I you know, I'm sorry about the situation you're in. There is comfort that is just emotional. It's topical in a sense. I can comfort you in your situations in life, but I can't do anything about them. I can give you comfort, but it's human comfort. It's companionship. It's fellowship. And it only goes to a certain level because I can't change what you're facing and what you're dealing with. The God of all comfort has all power and control in his hand. So when his comfort comes to us, it's one of supreme power. We sing the song, God Omniscient. We sing through and praised about the many different parts of God. And that, to me, is where the true comfort comes from. If I know that my God, that I can behold, is the God of all comfort, and I've placed my life in his hands in all the situations that I have, and he allows things to go in whatever direction he chooses, then there's great comfort in that. I trust him to allow my life to take the path as he sees fit. I trust him for that. And in that, then, there is a place of security and safety in his hand and in his arm. So he's the God of all comfort. And it says, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You ever met somebody that's going through something and it's something similar to what you've been through? It doesn't have to be exact either. But when we experience that relationship with God where we're able to behold him and we feel his presence, it gives us a source of not just inspiration, but of knowledge. If I say to you that God will take care of you, it's not just because it's a catchphrase on a wall, but because we've experienced that faithfulness of God. I have something to draw from. I lost my father in 2015. Very difficult time. In fact, I don't know if you know this, this is the first meeting I've held since he died. It affected me deeply. And there is something that only God can touch in those places in our life. No one else can. And those of you that have lost close loved ones, you know what that means. You can comfort me, but it's not the same. And when someone else goes through that, I know where the source is. The comfort that we give is one that comes from something outside of ourselves. And I don't even think it's so much about knowing all the right words to say, because there's not some magic formula that just, oh, that just made me feel so much better. You said things just in the right way. And that's what we think, right? Oh, what do I say? What do I say that will just make them feel better? It doesn't really work that way. God in his spirit is the one that brings that comfort. So that's what we have to offer. The Lord comforted me by his spirit. He gave me a measure that comforted my heart and ministered to me. And that's what we have to offer to comfort each other with. It's our God, the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort, is the one that will hold us and carry us through those places. That's where our comfort, you can't sell a product unless you've experienced it. You can't, because you don't know what it does and you haven't proven it. So when we go through some of these places, he said, he has comforted us in our tribulations. We're able to comfort them which are in trouble. Says, for as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth in Christ. And this tells me that there is a measure of comfort that the Lord has that meets where our trouble is. As one abounds, the other also abounds. And I may go through some things in life and I feel like God met them. And he helped me and he gave comfort. And then measure that measure by everything else in life. You see, I can't say, well, the Lord did that, and now, but these things are different than that, or greater, or I think they could have a greater impact. I believe that the grace of the Lord and the comfort that he has matches the places where, and that's what it means, where it abounds, his comfort will abound. It meets the need that we have, however great it is, and that's why we have to behold him. In his power and in his might and in his will and his desire, that we trust that. So, and there's one other part of this too, that I've run into this a few times where it's like we start to compare our trouble with other folks' trouble, and then we minimize it. And we feel like, well, I really don't have any reason to complain or have a need because, well, I'm not as bad as such and such and so and so. It's really not how it works. It's something that the Lord does from my heart in my relationship with Him, whatever it might be. I don't have to reach some level for a certain amount of comfort of God to be there. And I'm thankful for that, that it's not as if I have to go to some dire extent, but it's through all of the places where our consolation is, the Lord, the comfort of Christ abounds in our life. What a comfort that is, whatever it might be that lies ahead. I thought of a couple of these examples of Jesus seen. I think Zacchaeus was up in the tree, and the Lord come along and he saw him, and he saw right to where Zacchaeus was, and then he brought comfort to Zacchaeus' house. He saved him, changed his life forever from that point forward. I think about him feeding the 5,000, and there's many places the scripture says Jesus looked with compassion. And that's a part of being seen, is the compassion of God towards us. Not all earthly fathers are the same. Some are not, maybe don't fill their place maybe as they should. But this Father is a Father of mercy and compassion. When He sees us in our need, His heart is moved by that. And while we don't always have a good example of that, I want you to know and have a vision of what this Father is like. That in our places of, it's not always desperation, sometimes it is, but in our places where we need the Lord to give us something, when God sees me, it's not like I'm underfoot, or I'm in the way, or I'm a burden, or I'm a trial. Wish He never had me. But instead, His heart is moved. This is a good Father who knows how to give the good gifts, desires to give us the things that we need in our life. And in that, then, I have a great... I'm not afraid for God to see me. I need that. That is often the catalyst in my own faith. You think about the man who had the sick daughter, the centurion. And he had enough faith that when he met with Jesus, he just understood, and I believe he needed the Lord to see him. He went and found him, had a conversation with him, and then he had ultimate faith in what Jesus would say. Explained to him the situation and his authority. So it is my press sometimes in my faith when I need that comfort, as I need the Lord to see me, and I want Him to see me. That's the Lord, put your eyes upon me. It's one of God's name. It is the God who sees. It's one of the names of God. It's one of the faces of God. I'd like to read in Hebrews in the second chapter. In the 16th verse. It says, "For verily He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham." I don't know what kind of counselor, consoler, comforter Jesus could be if He had not lived life in the flesh like we have. Yes. Taken on the form of an angel, one that had to obey God and had no moral choice in that. But instead, He took on the seed of Abraham, and then later He calls us the children of Abraham. He took on this seed and he took on the flesh. And the 17th verse is, "Wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself had suffered, being tempted, He is able to succor them which are tempted." Succor in that place means aid and relieve. If I try to express to any of you the places where I need the Lord to really help me, I think it's almost impossible unless you've walked in my shoes. I'd have to explain such a backstory. Why I think the way I do. Oh, this, you just kind of, if I was trying to express to you what my thought process is and why I feel the way I do and what my need is, I don't. It's virtually impossible. because I can't explain everything in that way. But when I come to the Lord, there is a full confirmation in my heart that He knows and understands what brought me to the place that I'm in and what I'm dealing with. And in that, there is a confidence that He is able to meet the need that I have. One place it talks about a high priest who's touched by our infirmities. I think that's Hebrews 14. Yeah, 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which is cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Having the Lord see us and be able to have that intercession on our behalf. If I had to go before God and I had to somehow qualify for the God of all mercy and all comfort, I don't have anything that I could bring that would merit the comfort of God. And when we pray, I don't pray from a place of self-estimation, as if, God, I've done these things, so now... But I come through the blood of Christ, and Him is the high priest that makes that intercession. We have access to God because of what Jesus did for us. He is the one that mediates that. So the comfort that comes from God comes through His Son and through this high priest that has stood in the gap. He's made the intercession. And in this then is where we find comfort again, and our relationship with the Lord gets so deep because we're so dependent on Him to stand in that place before the Father. I was thinking about our emotions a little bit, and I like the story of Elijah. If you remember the prophets of Baal, he had just performed this great work. Yes. Eat up the sacrifice of fire. I mean, you should be full of energy and courage and just, I'm ready to go fight now. I just saw this amazing work. But he found himself discouraged. I don't know if discouraged is the right word. He was just done. And there's times when we're just done. And that's where Elijah was. He was poured out. A lot of times we are poured out. And when we're poured out, it's not a time to not seek God's face. It's our tendency, is that I don't feel as if I'm in a position or a place to just praise God or be in a place where I can just really have all the enthusiasm maybe. And I don't feel as if I'm in a mountaintop experience where I'm ready to just come and talk about how amazing and wonderful God is. I can feel it in my heart, but my emotions and my humanity are spent. And Elijah in this place, he was spent, and he said, it's enough, and he was ready to die. Just let me go to sleep. And there's a few songs that I like to listen to because they say that in them. I am weary, let me rest. I love that song. I like the song Bright Anticipation. I'm waiting, I'm longing. And there's times in my life when I feel that more than others, where, okay, I'm just done. I'm just finished. I'm ready to go. But the point I really wanted to make this afternoon was that as Elijah come to that place, I love that God did not berate him. Yes. It was not a time when he cast him down and said, oh, Elijah, didn't you see what I did? He did talk to him a little bit, but he ministered to him first. And that tells me where the comfort and the heart of God is. Yes. Fed him with an angel. Let him sleep some more. Fed him again. Let him sleep some more. Baked the cakes for him. And once he had ministered to him, then Elijah went 40 days and 40 nights on the strength of what God had given him. And he told him, oh, Elijah, I've got how many thousand that haven't bowed? I see things so differently than you do right now. But I love it. It speaks such comfort to my heart that when he faced a time when he was poured out and he felt like he had done all that he could and it was enough, that God's response was to simply feed him and let him rest. That's our God. Behold our God. When you're poured out and you feel like you've spent all that you had, just go eat and rest with the Lord. I don't need to press all that. And I understand there are times for pressing, but man, there is a time to just rest in the Lord. Lord, I've done all that I can. I'm wore out and I need you to feed me and I need to sleep. And that's all I got. And the Lord is the one that comes, and it may take one feeding or two or three, or it might take 50, however long he decides. But then when he is done feeding us, is the time when he'll say, okay, Elijah, it's time to get up and it's time to go. And in the strength of that, then we go on, comforted, sustained. It's part of our relationship with him. If we could do it without him, what do we need him for? If it was all just about determination and just press, and I'm just, what point is there in getting a hold of God then? Yes. There has to be times when you just let God feed you and rest in him. Had she gone anywhere? Had they stopped looking for him? The battle wasn't over. It wasn't like it was he ate them after he slew them. The battle is often still in our world or in our sphere or around us, but there's still time to rest, and that the Lord is the comforter that feeds us in those places. Amen. Couldn't go on without it. I'm going to rest on the way home and just feed. I don't want to do any battle on the way home if I can help it. The Lord is the one that brings those places of comfort. One more scripture I want to read. I just want to leave with you. A vision here in Psalms in the 46th chapter. He says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. That's a living God, by the way. That's one that is present and alive and can see and understands what is going on all around us. And the second verse, he says, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. The fourth verse says there is a river. Do you know that this river, and I think you have rivers in Oklahoma like this too, but there are some rivers that are pretty mighty. They flow and they bring such strength. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved, and God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, and the kingdoms were moved. He uttereth his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of the hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come and behold the works of the Lord. That's where we started. Behold our God. Come and behold the works of our Lord, and what desolations ye have made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in the sunders. He burneth the chariots in the fire. All of the things that the enemy would do. Do you know chariots mean war? They mean battle. And in some places, there's a place in scripture where I believe it was David. He prepared the horses for battle, but then he relied on the Lord. He had made preparation. There is a... In the battles that we face, in the places where we need the Lord to help us, we do our part. But the victory and the desolation of the enemy, it comes by our God. He is the one that burns the chariots. He is the one that breaketh the spear and the bow. He is the one that brings deliverance. He's the one that allows it. But why do you think Gideon could only take 300 men? Because God had to prove that it was he was the one that would slay the enemy. He is the one that causes the battle to change. So our desperation in our heart in those places is not so much that I'm able to do something, but that God would move in those places. And then I take comfort that the Lord is the one that is able. And the 10th verse, he said, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes I need just a burning bush moment. I need the time when the Lord inspires me that, Ken, I am. We need those places. Because when I come face to face with the I am, then I can see that the things that we deal with in life, in myself, in the places where I need his strength and his comfort, it's God and not me. That's the one that we want to rely on. There's a place that talks about this river flowing, planting trees in the desert. Their leaves don't turn. They have fruit and harvest. And I have every confidence that the Lord is able to bring fruit in every one of our seasons. Whether you're, if you're facing a summertime and the sun is hot, there is still fruit that comes from the Lord. He is the one that feeds that and supplies it. He's the one that brings the balm and the comfort. He's the one that brings the peace. So as I head home, the peace that we leave is not the peace of this world, but behold our God. He is a God that sees us and we can see him. Pray for me.